I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs of the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable we invest with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, given greater honor to the inferior parts, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. May the Lord bless the reading of His scriptures.
Thank you, John. In this scripture that John read, we hear about all the gifts. There's different gifts. Everybody has a different gift, and that's the way it is to be. Oftentimes, we don't appreciate the gifts that other people have. Paul is very detailed in his description of the body of Christ. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Paul went to so much trouble to talk about the different gifts, about the parts of the body of Christ? If we read this passage carefully, it becomes painfully clear. Many of the members of the church had developed a haughty spirit. That's H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. I've had two separate people this week talking. One said haughty, as in H-O-T-T-I-E. No. The other one said, did you say naughty? I said, no, there's no N on it. It's a haughty spirit. And in the church, that's easy to get. We still see it today. People have haughty spirits. Paul said, I wrote you a letter. In that letter, I told you to have nothing to do with men of bad character. That is a haughty spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:9 we hear an allusion to that. But this letter was either lost or it may actually be in 2 Corinthians. We're not sure, but we know Paul wrote the letter because he refers to it. When Paul was in Ephesus, he received news about troubles in the church at Corinth. This news came from people who were living in Chloe's house, and from Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. A letter also came from the Christians in Corinth. They asked for Paul's advice about various problems, and that's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Now, the second painful visit that Paul made, Paul heard that problems in Corinth were worse, so he made a second visit, but there is no record about this. But Paul writes about when he visited Corinth for the third time, so we know there was a second visit. Again, that may actually be in 2 Corinthians. Scholars have not determined whether or not there's any referral, but we do know that there is a second visit because he talks about his third visit. The severe letter. Paul's visit was not successful, so he wrote a letter when he was feeling very hurt. We find that in 2 Corinthians 2:4. He was almost sorry he had sent it, though. Some writers believe chapters 10 through 13 in 2 Corinthians are the severe letter. The letter to show that Paul and the Corinthians were friends again came later. Paul was so worried about his severe letter, he went to meet Titus. Titus had taken the severe letter to Corinth. Paul met Titus in Macedonia and learned that all was well. So he wrote chapters 1 through 9 in 2 Corinthians. It is possible someone put the severe letter and the next letter together in the wrong order. However that plays out, Paul had problems in that church. They didn't just resolve themselves overnight. So you have a first visit, you have a second visit, you have a third visit, and Paul's still trying to get a handle on the problems in the church, but what he narrows it down to is that people have a haughty spirit. Now, what does it mean to have a haughty spirit? Well, the dictionary describes it as disdainfully proud, snobbish, and scornfully arrogant. Have you ever met a person who's snobbish or scornfully arrogant? I see smiles over here. Disdainfully proud? If you haven't, you're fortunate. These are the kind of folks that normally only see things in black and white, who believe their morals are better. They may be morally corrupt, but have a double standard in that if you're morally corrupt, yours is worse. It's okay for me, but your corruption's worse than mine. Therefore, I can look down on you. Interestingly, we can see such things in families. As in, one child may actually be an arrogant child and the other not. The brilliant physician and writer Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. and his brother John represent two radically different views on the subject of flattery. Dr. Holmes loved to collect compliments. And when he was older, he indulged his pastime by saying to someone who had just praised his work, "I'm a trifle deaf, you know. Do you mind repeating that a little louder?" Because he wanted to hear it again. He needed to hear those compliments. His brother John, however, was unassuming and content to be in his older brother's shadow. He once said the only compliment he ever received came when he was six. The maid was brushing his hair when she said to his mother, "Little John isn't all that cross-eyed." Truth is, we have Christians who want to be recognized as wonderful and righteous, and then we have those who truly are wonderful and righteous, but they never ask for recognition. They just serve. Three Jewish mothers are sitting on a bench in a shopping center talking about how much their sons love them. Sadie says, "You know the Chagall painting hanging in my living room? My son Arnold bought that for me for my 75th birthday. What a good boy he is, and how much he loves his mother." Minnie says, "You call that love? You know the Mercedes I got for Mother's Day? That's from my son Bernie. What a doll." Shirley says, "That's nothing. You know my son Stanley? He's receiving psychoanalysis, 5 sessions a week. And what does he talk about? Me." Find a silver lining in anything, can't you? Well, an even greater truth is many of those whom we may see as insignificant in our society are in fact very important. Paul says, on the contrary, you heard John read this, on the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable we invest with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care of one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What we may see as the greatest to the least, God sees as equal. We may look around us and say we're better than other people, but God doesn't look at us that way. God looks at us as equal. That's a good feeling. When the disciples argued about which was greater, the greater disciple, what did Jesus say? Listen to this. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Not bad. God, of course, knows a haughty spirit when he sees one. And God understands a haughty spirit in ways we will never understand it. Therefore, God acts accordingly. There was a rabbi on a journey with the prophet Elijah. They walked all day, and at nightfall they came to a humble cottage of a poor man, whose only treasure was a cow. The poor man ran out of his cottage, and his wife ran too, to welcome the strangers for the night, and to offer them all the simple hospitality which they were able to give in poor circumstances. Elijah and the rabbi were entertained with plenty of the cow's milk, sustained by homemade bread and butter, and they were put to sleep in the best bed while their kindly host lay down before the kitchen fire. But in the morning, the poor man's cow was dead. They walked all the next day, and came that evening to the house of a very wealthy merchant, whose hospitality they craved. The merchant was cold, proud, and rich, and all he would do for the prophet and his companion was to lodge them in a cow shed and feed them on bread and water. In the morning, however, Elijah thanked him very much for what he had done and sent for a mason to repair one of his walls, which happened to be falling down, as a return for his kindness. The rabbi was unable to keep silence any longer, begged Elijah to explain the meaning of his dealings with human beings. "In regards to the poor man who received us so hospitably," replied the prophet, "it was decreed that his wife was to die that night, but in reward for his goodness, God took the cow instead of the wife. I repaired the wall of the rich miser because a chest of gold was concealed near the place, and if the miser had repaired the wall himself, he would have discovered the treasure." There are reasons for things that we don't always see. Someone with a haughty spirit, Elijah knew all too well, and he kept him from getting worse than he already was. And he saved the poor man's wife. Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves are free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. I want you to hear those words. All were made to drink of one Spirit. When we look around us and we see people in our community or around the world and we disdain them, we count them as less than us, it's not one Spirit. And notice, Paul, like Jesus, doesn't say some, he says all. All were made to drink from one Spirit. There is no spirit of I'm better than anyone. There is only we, us, one. In our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no room for being disdainfully proud, snobbish, or scornfully arrogant. When we put up walls like that, we do not earnestly desire the higher gifts, as you heard John read about, the higher gifts of drinking from one Spirit. And I'll just share this one last part with you at this minister's meeting Friday. This statement was made, and I got to tell you, it was the one that got me up and out of there. But the minister who was speaking is a bishop. And he said, I want y'all to know that people have it wrong in society today. They need to be more aware of Scripture because God is the head of man and man is the head of woman. And women need to learn their place. I got up. I said, you haven't been in my church. No, I didn't say anything to him, but I thought that sewed it up. I mean, he really offered a lot of inspirational things. That was not one of them. But when we get to a point where we count someone as less, doesn't matter if it's gender, doesn't matter if it's color, religion, when we count people as less, we are not of one Spirit. And that's a haughty spirit when we don't see the value in all of God's creation. You and I cannot name one thing on this earth that God didn't create. Not one. Does that not give them value? Does not God's creation count regardless? Let us pray. Gracious God, let us be one. Let us be encouragers, helpers, and servants of all. Help us to understand more what it means to be a servant than to be the greatest. For we know that your greatest is a servant. Your greatest walked this earth and gave his life that we may be free, that we may have life eternal. May we emulate that example that you sent for us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.